This is Audible.
The Sanctity of Patents. A singular feature of Gates's vaccine caper, largely unnoticed until recently by the global press, is his ironclad commitment to protect pharma's intellectual property rights. Asked in a Sky News interview if sharing intellectual property and the recipe for vaccines would be helpful, Gates replied bluntly, "No. There's all sorts of issues around intellectual property having to do with medicines, but not in terms of how quickly we've been able to ramp up the volume here. I do a regular phone call with the pharmaceutical CEOs to make sure that work is going at full speed." In April 2021, his unyielding allegiance to patent rights and corporate profits finally caused cracks to appear in the monolithic support for Gates among mainstream media and the public health establishment. That month, the New Republic writer Alexander Zaitchik published a lengthy article, "Vaccine Monster," describing how Bill Gates had aggressively impeded global access to COVID vaccines by the world's poorest people in order to safeguard the profitable patent privileges of his pharmaceutical partners. By March 2020, Indian and African nations, anticipating severe vaccine shortages of COVID inoculations for their populations, were clamoring for a waiver of patent rights that would allow local manufacturers to rapidly supply hundreds of millions of generic vaccines at prices that would provide access to the poor. Western nations joined the hullabaloo in the cause of patent exemptions, recognizing that government innovation, vast flows of taxpayer subsidies, regulatory waivers, liability exemptions, coercive mandates, and licensing monopolies had given birth to the COVID vaccines, with drug companies themselves playing relatively minor roles. By August 2020, a global movement to waive patents for COVID-19 vaccines had gathered the momentum of a runaway locomotive. Proponents included much of the global research community, major NGOs with long experience in medicines development and access, and dozens of current and former world leaders and public health experts. In a May 2020 open letter, more than 140 political and civil society leaders called upon governments and companies to begin pooling their intellectual property. "Now is not the time to leave this massive and moral task to market forces," they wrote. In early March 2021, the world's leading public health authorities launched a voluntary intellectual property pool inside the WHO to ensure that COVID-19 drugs and vaccines would be universally and cheaply available, the WHO COVID-19 Technology Access Pool, or CTAP. In May 2021, President Biden threw his weight behind the movement, calling for a temporary suspension of patent protections for COVID-19 vaccines to ensure coverage among poorer nations. "We believe that intellectual property rights constitute a very substantial barrier to ensure equitable access," he said. "We believe that if we could have a limited, targeted waiver to ensure that we can ramp up production in various parts of the world, we would go a long way to ensure that we address not only the prevention, but also the treatment of COVID-19. Biden's equity initiative forced Gates into the open. Gates's entire philanthrocapitalism business model rests on the sanctity of knowledge monopolies, and so with the whole world watching, Gates revealed that patent integrity, the source of vaccine profits to his pharma partners, is the sine qua non of Gates's global health initiatives. When push turns to shove, patent protection eclipses his professed concerns for public health. His ironclad control of WHO made Gates's opposition to CTAP dispositive. The runaway train hit a granite mountain. Any pretense that democracy or equity should determine global health policy collapsed before the raw power and influence of Bill Gates. According to the New Republic, advocates for pooling and open science, who seemed ascendant and even unstoppable that winter, confronted the possibility that they'd been outmatched and outmaneuvered by the most powerful man in global public health. Gates derailed the CTAP pool, replacing it with his own WHO program, the COVID-19 ACT Accelerator, which consecrated industry patent rights and relegated developing world vaccination programs to the charitable impulses of pharmaceutical companies and Western donor nations fighting for their own share of the vaccines. As the predictable result of Gates's intervention, around 130 of the poorest of the world's 190 nations, 2.5 billion people, have had zero access to vaccines as of February 2021. As Zaitchik pointed out, the supply crisis was easily foreseeable. Not only were the obstacles posed by intellectual property easily predictable a year ago, there was no lack of people making noise about the urgency of avoiding them. Gates had once again used his international reputation and money authority to shield corporate greed with a halo effect. International health officials warned, for example, that despite all government expressions of concern about Africa, less than 2% of all doses administered globally have been in Africa. Just 1.5% of the continent's population are fully vaccinated. Paradoxically, these nations happen to have lower COVID mortalities by orders of magnitude. There has never been a point at which the Gates Foundation, before the pandemic, at the start of the pandemic, and now at the worst moment of the pandemic, is willing to surrender and look at IP as something that has to be managed differently to ensure that we're doing as much as possible, said Rohit Malpani, board member of the global health agency Unitaid. Gates opposed waiving some provisions of the World Trade Organization's agreement on trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights, or TRIPS. A waiver would allow member nations to stop enforcing a set of COVID-19-related patents for the duration of the pandemic. Bill Gates asked everyone to block the TRIPS waiver and trust a handful of companies hoarding IP and know-how, said James Love, director at Knowledge Ecology International. Gates's commitment to patent rights is existential and unyielding. Gates has ruthlessly defended intellectual property monopolies since his early battles with open-source hobbyists in Microsoft's natal days. Gates built both his fortune and his charitable model of philanthrocapitalism on the sanctity of intellectual property protections in software, food, and drugs. Gates made his bones with his big pharma partners by triumphing over Nelson Mandela in hand-to-hand combat during the grim African AIDS crisis of the 1990s. South Africa was ground zero in the global AIDS epidemic, with HIV infection rates affecting one in every five adults. Mandela had made himself the paladin in a Third World Crusade to allow generic drug makers to give the global poor access to expensive AIDS drugs. Mandela's reputation as a kind of saint stymied the pharmaceutical companies, reluctant to defend a venal business model that, by their own estimation, was a death sentence for 29 million African children and adults. Cloaking himself in the moral authority as the world's largest charitable benefactor, Gates stepped forward as the industry champion, expounding the cause of intellectual property and knowledge monopolies over public health. That ghillie suit of selfless altruism successfully confused the press and public, especially the liberal establishment, about Gates's solipsistic motives for over two decades. In December 1997, Mandela's administration pushed through a law allowing the health officials to import, produce, or purchase generic AIDS drugs that were out of reach for most Africans. Pharma was happy to test AIDS drugs on Africans, but had priced the final product far out of their reach. Glaxo, for example, was still selling annual dosages of AZT for $10,000. Gates declared war on Mandela and his generic drug crusade by supporting a suit by 39 pharma multinationals who sued South Africa to prevent poorer nations from accessing generic AIDS drugs for their people. Once again, Gates put the halo on greed. The New Republic chronicled the fight. In Geneva, the lawsuit was reflected in a battle at the WHO, which was divided along a north-south fault line. On one side, the home countries of the Western drug companies. On the other, a coalition of most from the global south and dozens of leading public health groups, including Médecins Sans Frontières and Oxfam, joined the battle on behalf of Mandela. In the end, Gates and Pharma won the legal case, and Gates helped push through enduring bulletproof protection for pharmaceutical patents by his implacable support of the trade-related aspects of intellectual property, TRIPS, an international agreement that outlawed the use of unsanctioned generics to combat AIDS and other diseases. Today, leading public health officials agree that the primary drivers of the current artificial shortage of COVID-19 vaccines is Gates's defense of intellectual property rights to protect the profiteering by his pharma partners. Zaitchik recounts how battle-scarred public health veterans saw clearly, for the first time, how Gates's addiction to proprietary science and market monopolies easily overrode his professed concern about the impacts of the pandemic and poor nations and the structural inequality in access to medicines. COVID-19 reveals the deep structural inequality in access to medicines globally, and a root cause is IP that sustains and dominates industries' interests at the cost of lives. Zaitchik offers a devastating indictment of Gates. Gates is certain he knows better, but his failure to anticipate a crisis of supply and his refusal to engage those who predicted it have complicated the carefully maintained image of an all-knowing, saintly, mega-philanthropist. COVAX presents a high-stakes demonstration of Gates's deepest ideological commitments, not just to intellectual property rights, but also to the conflation of these rights with an imaginary free market in pharmaceuticals, an industry dominated by companies whose power derives from politically constructed and politically imposed monopolies. After describing how Gates pushed back ruthlessly defending the status quo and running effective interference for those profiting by the billions from their control of COVID-19 vaccines, Zaitchik offers a glimmer of hope for humanity's most downtrodden third fighting for their lives against this vaccine monster. There are signs of overdue scrutiny of Gates's role in public health and lifelong commitment to exclusive intellectual property rights. Blacks to the front of the line. At the February 2021 press conference, Francis Collins said that NIH's new generation of HIV vaccines will specifically target Africans and African Americans to make sure everybody, everywhere, has the opportunity to be cured, not just those in high-income countries. Such sympathies were a consistent preoccupation along the Gates NIH nexus. Melinda Gates lamented on CNN April 10, 2020, that she was kept up at night worrying about vulnerable populations in Africa. In June 2020, she told Time magazine that in the United States, black people should get the COVID-19 vaccine first. The idea that blacks should be first in line for the vaccine, and official anxieties that many blacks would resist this privilege, were persistent themes in pronouncements by the leading health agencies during the pandemic. As we shall see in Chapter 12, Gates, Fauci, and the intelligence agency and pharmaceutical company partners repeatedly wargamed strategies for overcoming anticipated black resistance in many of the dozen pandemic simulations leading up to COVID-19. Once the pandemic was underway, HHS recruited black preachers, HBCU college deans, civil rights leaders, and sports figures like Hank Aaron to soften jab hesitancy in the black community. They staged press conferences and highly publicized celebrity vaccination confabs and extravagantly financed government advertising campaigns targeting blacks in both the United States and Africa. In December 2020, Dr. Fauci scolded resistance in the black community, saying, "The time is now to put skepticism aside." Without citing any studies demonstrating the vaccine was safe, he said that the first thing that you might want to say to my African brothers and sisters is that the vaccine you're going to be taking was developed by an African-American woman, and that's just a fact. When Cicely Tyson, Marvin Hagler, and rapper Earl Simmons, a.k.a. DMX, all died soon after taking COVID vaccines, the medical community and CDC rushed in to assure the African-American community that the deaths were not vaccine-related. Social media and mainstream outlets censored or removed stories that suggested a vaccine association. Gates-funded fact-checker organizations debunked any link. The desperation to discredit such talk inspired many respectable media outfits to simply lie. When home run king Hank Aaron, whom I knew, died 17 days after receiving a vaccine at a staged press conference at Atlanta's Morehouse College, I wrote that his death was among a wave of deaths in older people following vaccination. I never said the vaccine caused Aaron's death. The New York Times, CNN, ABC, NBC, Inside Edition, and 100 news organizations across the globe rushed to castigate me and rebuff my article as vaccine misinformation, assuring the public that the Fulton County coroner had declared Aaron's death unrelated to the vaccine. When I called the Fulton County coroner, the office informed me that they had never seen Hank Aaron's body and that Aaron's family had buried him without autopsy. After I published this embarrassing fact, not a single news organization posted a retraction. Federal law requires that every injury or death following vaccination during clinical trials, or by logical extension with emergency use products, must be attributed to the vaccine unless proven otherwise. Nevertheless, as of August 2021, the CDC officially took the Pollyanna-ish view that not one of the 13,000-plus deaths reported to VAERS following vaccination as of August 20th, 2021, was vaccine-related. Not one. As was the case with Hank Aaron, CDC apparently did nothing to actively investigate any of those deaths, exonerating the vaccines instead by fiat. While unusual numbers of black celebrities were dying post-vaccination in America, an eyebrow-raising number of anti-vax political leaders were simultaneously expiring in Africa. The epidemic of untimely deaths among high-profile black African heads of state and key government ministers and physicians who opposed Bill Gates' COVAX policies provoked a wave of conspiracy theories suggesting that these men were murdered to silence dissent. The phenomenon was so striking during the first year of the pandemic that both Reuters and the British medical journal BMJ published articles seeking to explain the troubling trend. The internet assassination speculations reached a boil following the strange murder of President Jovenel Moïse of Haiti by a team of elite, well-trained Colombian mercenaries with links to United States intelligence agencies. Moïse was a vocal opponent of the WHO vaccine program. The African leaders who died suddenly after criticizing WHO vaccination policy included President John Magufuli of Tanzania, March 17, 2021, Prime Minister Hamed Bakayoko of Ivory Coast, March 10, 2021, President Pierre Nkurunziza of Burundi, January 8, 2020, and Madagascar's popular, influential, and anti-vax ex-president Didier Ignace Ratsiraka, March 28, 2021. Kenya's beloved physician, Stephen Karanja, the chairman of the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association, who had exposed the WHO sterilization program in 2014 and who criticized the agency's COVID rollout in 2020, also died, reportedly of COVID, April 29, 2021. A peer-reviewed article in the BMJ titled, "Why Have So Many African Leaders Died of COVID?" lists 17 heads of state and leading government health ministers who passed in the 12 months between February of 2020 and February of 2021. The BMJ article states that almost all of these deaths resulted in dramatic shifts in national health policies from skepticism toward strong support for vaccination in their respective countries. The article points out